Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise, please. God is really good, you know. Like, not for play, for real, for real. God is really good. Amen? I said that and like five people said it, but you're in here breathing today. Like, we have to, she said something earlier about being cliche and just being in the moment. I know a lot of us have a lot of things going on, but when you're in church, let's be in church. We come here to corporately worship God, not to be entertained. We're supposed to be entertaining God. And that's why some people just don't go to church, because church doesn't entertain them rather than us. Anyways. All right. The theme for this month has been what? Wow. Somebody was living right. Two people, I guess. That should have been sin. All right. I'm tired of it. You've been texting me, calling me on my Facebook. Sin. I'm stopping. That should have been the response. I think I sent Pastor a text like that. I was out this week. I'm like, what? Somebody's sinning now. Y'all need to cut this mess out. Pastor done texted me five times in the last 25 minutes. But it's that serious, amen? It's a war. It's a fight. And we're going to talk about sin today. I'm going to try to, I got a lot of scriptures, but if we read the scripture, then I got to talk less. So let's read the scriptures, amen? Let's go to, someone like, amen. That's the best thing I heard all morning. I started not to come. Anyway, let's pray. We're going to start with Luke 4, 31 through 37 as we're praying. Let's go before the Father. Father God, I stand here as a vessel only, God. Nothing in myself do I bring to you or present to you, God. For without you, I'm nothing. I ask that you just oversee this message, God, that I might say what you want me to say, Father God, and that I might not hesitate to giving your people the truth, Father God. And I pray that not only I say what thus says the Lord, but that you prepare a ground, a fertile ground, for these seeds to land on, God. Open their heart as only you can do, Father God. Harden not their heart, God, that they may receive this word. God, I pray for the attention spans of the youth, Father God. For traditionally, there was no Youth Sunday. Where the parents were, that's where they were, God. There was no children's church, God. Where the parents were, they were. They were held accountable by the parents, God. And so today, as we congregate together, Father God, I pray for their minds and their hearts as well, God, that they might receive this word and understand this isn't just a word for mom and pops, but this is a word for me too. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, giving honor to God, who truly is ahead in my life, and thank you, Pastor Randy and Pastor Teresa, for this opportunity to share before your people. It's no small thing. It's not a small thing to stand here. First of all, I have to take into account my sin in my life. And secondly, they submit the pulpit to their flock, to a member of their flock, to preach before the flock. So I thank you and I honor you for that. And I appreciate that little ounce of confidence that you that you have in me, or in the Lord to protect me, not me. We're going to read Luke 4, 31 through 37. Here's a little nugget for you. This is free. Have a Bible. As your youth minister, please, please do not send your children here without Bibles. Sometimes we do other stuff, but they need to have a Bible. The same way you got to get your keys to go to your car to start it up, they need their Bibles to go to Bible study. Amen? Please, we have too many kids that don't have a Bible. If you have an extra one, please bring it, donate it. I'll put it in a separate spot so it doesn't disappear. Let's read Luke 4, 31 through 37. And this is a KJV. I'm coming out of the ESV, but it's all good. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. This is Jesus. And they were astonished at the doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. and cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art. I know who you are. I know what you come to do. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace. Shut up." In my version, that's what it says, "Shut your mouth." "And come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For the authority and the power commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out in every place of the country round about. There are similarities between the way demons act and the way your sin acts, or the way you react in sin. My goal is to help us not completely stop sinning. I can't do that. I don't have that power. But that you would understand how serious your sin is, and that you might know your sin so that you can know the Father better. Because the wages of sin is death. I think the killer, more than just us disregarding sin, is that we think sin is only something outside of ourselves. It's only something that we can get into. If you're not watching pornography, then you're not sinning. Guess if you're not in the act and you're not watching it, then you're not sinning. Because that's something external. If I'm not fighting, I'm not cussing nobody literally, then I'm not sinning. I'm good. Though those things, a lot of the sin that we can enact is external to us, it's still in our minds and in our hearts. Notice I didn't point here, because that's not your heart that Scripture speaks about. It's talking about the core. Your heart is everything. It's not external to us. It's in you. When that lady cuts you off when you're pulling into the grocery store, you might not have said it because your kid's in the car, but you thought it. It's in you. Why is that important? Because we need to know sin. We need to know our sin. We need to know that it's a part of us every single day, that it's surrounding us, and that you can't escape from it. So what do you do with it? What do you do with it? Somebody, has anybody ever went a day without sinning, a whole day? My brother was tapping the screen. I thought he raised his hand. I was about to say, "Boy, I'll talk to you later." He was just tapping the screen. Byron, boy, put that bad arm down. All right. Hebrews 3 and 13. Got a lot of scriptures. Let's get to it. Hebrews 3 and 13. I love Byron. Y'all got to understand, Byron don't care nothing about nobody out here messing with his praise. Amen. That brother was on a deathbed and come to church. Whether he got a wheel with that good arm, will come and climb in your, and will be here and praising the Lord and be in a whole nother key, but praising the Lord. And I respect that. I mean, I tear about that privately, because I look at how hard he go just to be a part. And sometimes us who are fully able and fully capable, we don't want no part of God, the body. We don't want nobody to call us, ask us a favor, nothing. That's also sin. Amen. My mission today, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Every single day we need to be telling each other, checking each other. The same way you in your statuses is the same way you should be checking up on your kids. I know it's cool because they quiet. I know it's cool because they ain't bothering you while you watching Game of Thrones or whatever. I know you relax right now. We chilling. This ain't a God moment. He wants us to have personal time. But look at how much time you spend of personal time and work and all that, and how much time you spend with God. That should let you know where your heart is at immediately. Fathers, when is the last time you read the scriptures to your children? Just read the scripture to them. Didn't even elaborate. Just read it. When the last time you sat your family down to pray, fathers, mothers, big sisters, big brothers. See, we just think it's always the job of somebody else to exhort someone about sin. That's what we go to church for. No, we come to church to worship. The exhorting and the teach, that happens all during the week. And that happens from us, through us, by us. That's what we're called to do. Amen? I'm not implying that somebody in here has been indwelt by a demon. How are demons and how is all this stuff similar? Let's go back to Luke 4 and 33. I'm not implying any of you have been indwelt by a demon or ever will be. Okay, I'm not saying that, but I'm just going to show some similarities. I know some of us think that we know people that have to have a demon in us. Have to have a demon in them. Just can't be that bad or that mean or that hateful. Let me tell you the story that happened. I think it's a true story. It might be a true story. It probably is. Might be a true story. All right, anyways, there was a church and some people, and they were in church, and the pastor told them to come up to the altar. And when the pastor told them to come up to the altar, they all rushed up to the altar and they were praying, and they were praying over sin. And while they were on the altar, a figure came out. And everybody was blown away, and he announced himself and said, "Hey, I am Lucifer." He came to the altar, and as you can imagine, people were like trying to get out of the church. They were trying to get away from the altar. Something's wrong. They're blaming everybody. Something's wrong right now. And so they're all escaping. And then he looks, and Lucifer sees this one old lady sitting on the pew. And he says, "What you doing in here? Why are you still in here? You're not afraid of me?" She says, "No, I'm not afraid of you." He says, "Why aren't you afraid of me? Do you know who I am?" He said, "Yes, I do." She said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Then why aren't you afraid of me?" And she says, "Because I've been married to your brother for 25 years. Some of you guys didn't. I set that up really good. The timing was impeccable. The story was told correctly. And like three people are still trying to figure that out. You probably don't know anyone filled by a demon directly if you're hanging with the right community. But you probably, some of you will never see that because you don't actually go out and gospel in the dirt places. You only speak to people who know what you're talking about. You won't encounter that type of stuff on a serious note. So let me get to my first point. There's only three. There's a couple of other things. My first point is sin always reacts violently to the word of God. Sin always reacts violently to the word of God. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Leave us alone. What do you want with me?" And I imagine this is a demon. This is evil. This ain't homeboy Craig on the street. This is a demon knowing his place, knowing where he will end up, talking to Jesus. And I think it was more like you see two little seventh graders in a gym, you know, "Get out my face." In other words, said, "What do you want with me? Leave me alone, man." Get, you know, just it's violently. And some of you, you got to understand that this is a demon talking to the King of Kings, telling him to leave him alone. So here's the comparison. What about your sin? What about when you hear Pastor Randy up here speaking and he's touching on a subject and you know good and well he doesn't know what you just personally went through? And he's beating on this subject and you know that type of sin has touched your life. You can almost feel the hair raising up on the back of your neck. Amen? You can almost feel it. You know exactly what he's talking about. You know exactly what he's talking about. Here's the thing, but you don't claim it because you think it's external. You just think it's something you do, not something that's a part of you. That's why you have to know your sin and understand yourself with your sin. Whatever that sin may be, whatever that sin may be, you have to know it. You have to recognize it. You have to call. Would you just let somebody strange move into your house? You don't know them, and you ain't going to say nothing to them? You just get up, you scratch it, and that's a dude that moved in here 2 weeks ago. And just go about your business. Come in the shower, he in the shower, you just like, oh, my bad, dog. Would anybody do that? So why do we do that with sin? We just let the sin invade our life. We know we're not supposed to be there. We know we're not supposed to be engaging in that. We know we're not supposed to be talking like that. Ladies, you know he don't mean no good on the phone, but you still entertaining it. Fellas, you already know what she want, but you still entertaining it. But we just let it camp. It's cool. It's cool. But when we get in here, we want to react violently. See, it's not always external. What do you mean violently? Punching and kicking? No. Disruptive. It's disruptive. It's disruptive. You know that pastor was on the mark, and you knew he was preaching the word, and yet you leave and continue in that same sin. You come to the altar and you give Jesus half of the problem. And we're going to talk about that in a second, where that leads to. Sin, John 3 and 20, please. Sin causes you to want to hide it. Little kids, you ever took a little piece of candy or something, and the person that you took it from came in the room, and you try to put it behind your back? They know you did something because you got this look. You don't sit like that normally. Nixie, you know what I'm talking about, boo-boo? She's smiling. She's like, yes, daddy, I do. That's the same thing. That's what sin wants you to do. Sin wants you to hide it because guess what? Just like a demon who wants his place, what are you doing here? Like the demon didn't want to be disrupted from what it was doing. Mind you, where were they at? In the synagogue. The demon was chilling in church. What is Jesus doing in here? Okay, that went over your head too. What is Jesus doing? All right. Guys must be hungry. Sin causes you to want to hide it. John 3 and 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. See, some of you plan to keep on sinning until you get caught. You plan to keep on doing exactly what you're doing. The only thing that'll stop you is public humiliation. That's it. You run to the clinic, they got a fix for that. As long as don't nobody know, it's supposed to be confidential. Go to that little place over there in Savannah in Charleston. Got a lot of people out there protesting around it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You don't want nobody to know. You ever felt that it was weird that, like, adoption costs, like, $10,000 or something like that? Like, $15,000 to get a child, and it's, like, $400 to get rid of one? Sin, boy, sin makes provision for itself. Oh, and we're going to do this, and we're going to make it cheap. Sin makes provision for itself. Proverbs 9, 7 and 8, 7 through 8. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 through 8. I know a lot of us don't want to approach people in their sin because we got our own problems, but tough. Get your life right. Get your life right. That's what you're supposed to do. You think that, oh, this person's an evangelist. Do you even know what an evangelist is? Do you know what a minister is? You're part of an organization, and you don't even know some of the basic institutes of it. You know what an apostle is. You know what a bishop is. You know what an elder does. They have certain things that they're over, but every one of us is supposed to do something in their job titles, which is spread the word of God. But we can't do it. You can't be up there like, hey, man, you need to stop smoking, dog. It's going to kill you. I was watching a little video. Y'all seen a little video on Facebook where the little 8-year-old was asking people for a light? And the lady was like, oh, you're so cute. Let me light that thing for you. She kept it real. I respected that. She was probably just doing it because she didn't feel nothing was wrong with it. But then you got the other guy. You shouldn't be smoking, man. No, don't look over there. It's all on camera. They all see the whole thing. But that's how we do. Some of us are just a lady. We don't really know. When we're here to educate you. That's what we're here to do. Just know we're doing it in love. Some of you are trying to hide yours and check this other person. Some of you just don't show up. You don't even want to use the footage. But you will be condemned for all three. All three are condemnable. One looks better than the other, but it's not. Proverbs 9 and 7. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth himself a blot. Go to 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love you. I thought rebuke was bad. It says rebuke somebody that's doing bad stuff, and they'll hate you. You rebuke somebody that's considered to be wise, and you think it would be the same result. He'd hate you. But no, he loves you. A wise person loves to grow in wisdom. They love that. That's why some of us, we love the feeling that they love us pouring knowledge into them. So we only talk to each other. It feels good. Feels good. Pastor Randy pouring into you. Oh, that's a good word. Ah! Ear itch. I don't even know why my ear. Anyway, so give a good word. It feel good, you know. But the moment he correct you, it's probably a different feeling. Amen. Some of us know. Just go ahead and get that whooping and move on. That's called wisdom. Others, there's two doors right there. They kind of open this way and open that, and they don't never come back in. So if a person does not like to be rebuked. When they're wrong, they're considered what the Bible says is a fool. Amen? They're considered a fool. And he says, don't reprove them. Leave them alone. Because they'll hate you. He said, let me do that. Let me do that. But that's what sin causes them to do. That's that violent reaction. Why would you just walk out of somewhere you locked arms with and gave fellowship for or you know, made a commitment to fellowship with? You just walk out because you don't like something that was said. That can't be worked out. You know, there's a process that goes before that. Amen. But sin, if you're in sin and you're trying to hide it, it'll cause you to walk. That's what happens. Going to the worst of sinners, be prepared to catch hell. Be prepared. Sinners attack when you address their sin. In light of this observation, sin in us causes us to act violently, physically, mentally, externally, or internally. James 1 and 9. I guess I titled this part, Don't Speak Too Soon. 1 and 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Next, keep going, 19 through 21. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Somebody ever come up to you and said something you didn't like, but you know they were right, and you still snap? That's just happened to me. Oh, I think we're going to go through the whole Bible then, because ain't nobody talking to me. I don't know if you guys understand or not. Am I speaking a different language? Is there a translator app on the microphone? That ain't never happened. Nobody told you you was doing something, and you was caught, and you were still mad at them. That happens. Adults, please, if the kids don't see us responding and understanding, then they'll feel like they don't have to. They're watching you. Everything you do. I've been like that. Been like, man, you got to be, what? In my inside, I'm like, dang, how he know that? Kids too. Daddy, I remember that one time. I'm like, no, you don't. Sit down. Try to cut them off. Because we big and they little. Shut. Girl, sit your. Go in a room and play. You are. Thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate it, brother. We're here. All right. Good. All right. You should not be so quick to listen. If you consider yourself wise, listen to what they're saying. Because rebuke and correction come from the Lord. It's not an opportunity for you to think, oh, they probably did it too, and now he's trying to. That's not your job. No matter where the correction comes from, look at the correction, not the corrector. There's crooked cops out there. But if you were speeding, you were speeding. It doesn't matter if he racist or not. Dog, you're doing 45 in a 10. You talking about how he looked at you, the way he talking to you. Don't do 45 in a 10. You don't have to worry about that. Don't look at the corrector. Look at the correction and say, you know what? I can't stand it. Me and my sister Whitney get into it all the time. And she give me that eye like, I cannot stand you, brother. And I don't want to listen to you. But I know you're right. Because the only thing I'm going to tell you, it's going to be out of love. And sometimes, listen, correctors, whenever you're in a correcting position, parents, big brothers, big sisters, Tammys. Tammy just covered the whole, she in there. Wherever you need a gap, she'll fill it in. She'll boss you around now. We cannot let our pride take hold of us when we're correcting sin. Because you know there's a way that you can say it in love, but you know you don't have to. You know all you have to do is say it because God said it. But would you want somebody to deal with you like that? No. Would you want somebody to treat with you like that? Yes, they're little kids. Yes, they need to listen. Yes, they shouldn't have been doing 45 in a 10 on a bicycle. Check them in love. Let's do what we do in love. And then people might respond. They still going to hate it because sin tries to hide itself. Sin going to run. Sin wants to respond violently. That's what sin is. It's natural to do that. That's sin's job. Sin's doing its job. Are you doing your job? Are you loving? So that brings me to the Luke 4 and 34. Let's go to 4 and 34. Point 2 of 3. Almost done. Sin will try to protect itself. The demon is basically saying, let us alone. This is my possession. Like, I'm here, and I don't want to leave. Let us alone. What you doing here? I know who you are. You just came to cause trouble. I'm Gucci. The demon is telling the Lord of hosts that he's good where he's at inside of this human being. And that's what sin tries to tell us. I could elaborate. Oh, my goodness. I could just go in and go in and go in and make application after application. And I don't have the time for that. But you know those things that you're doing and those things that you're caught up in, you know they're not right. Jesus will not dwell in. You want to know why your prayers don't get answered? Do you want to know why you walk up to opposition everywhere you turn? It's not always because you're holy. It's because the demon is looking at you and being like, look, I know that I can only be taken out by a sword. He ain't got a sword. He looked tough. But I know he can't do nothing to me. You remember the time they went up to Jesus and was like, Jesus, why couldn't we cast that demon out? And he said, oh, that's because this one only comes out with fasting and praying. They were using the wrong tools. They were using the wrong tools. Those of us who think you don't have to give up whatever you're going through to receive this next step because God graces himself on you all the time, meaning because good stuff happens to you, you think you're okay. The scripture says the sun rises on the just and the unjust equally. There are people out there stupid rich right now that are worshiping Lucifer, that are preparing a child sacrifice, that are looking for their next victim. And they're going to go get in their Lamborghinis and their 10-bedroom mansion house and go play golf later today. Somebody riding through Seabrook right now in a 60-something Corvette and not thinking nothing about the Lord. And you're saying, they're totally corrupt and they're blessed. I just got this little thing right here. I'm good. Jesus, leave me alone. But that's not how it works. Sin will always try to protect its position and its property. It will always convince you that you're okay where you're at, so it doesn't have to move. You ever been driving a car and you got the two lines and you park that joker and you kind of park inside the line, but you know it's still a little too close to the other car? You know what I'm talking about, those who drive? It's just a little too close. You feel because you're in the line, you're good. But you know the right vehicle, if that's a big truck or something, you're going to just probably move the car to a whole nother. Because when he opened that door, he's going to smack you. Right? You just washed your car or whatever you did. You know you're in the line, but guess what? You're not good. You're not good. Matthew 5, 27 through 30. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. Go back to 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Fellas, if you think a lady is beautiful, he's not saying you committed adultery. What he's saying is he's talking about the lust. Like you're saying, ooh, boy, you know what I... When that enters, there goes the sin. I always wanted to say this because I get the platform. You guys can hear something different on Thursdays. Ladies, listen, y'all know y'all on y'all gym kick and all that good stuff. We don't have to know that. You don't have to show us in church. And I'm saying that we're, every one of us is a natural sinner. You ever seen that lady that, and I'm not saying any of you, that girl that dresses like a hooker and then somebody hollers at her like a hooker and she's offended? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, what are you offended for? I thought you were playing a role. I was in character. That's how I be thinking. So all I'm saying is, ladies, I'm not telling you to change your whole outfit, but some stuff, I mean, you know your calf work. Come on. It's rough. It's rough for a brother. And then consider your pastor who has to stand up here. Yes, he has a beautiful wife, but he still got eyes. Amen? Are y'all feeling that? Not feeling that? Is it convicted somebody and you want to hide that sin because you want them pumps and that nice dress? You've been working all summer for this behind and you going to show them. I don't expect nobody to agree with me, but hey. It goes the same for guys, you know, all that good stuff. You know, you know what you're doing. Amen. You know what you do. Just be careful. Don't say sorry. Be careful. All right. Go to the next one. Go to 30. I think it's 30. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. One time.
because we're pressed for time, I'm going to say, look, he's saying even the appearance of sin, anything that might even lead you to sin, cut it off. If it looks like it might even get you close to there, cut it off. Mostly we deal with this, and I'm not saying this is specific, but I'm just saying mostly we deal with it in communication with other human beings. We are people. We work off our eyes. We think stuff is attractive, you know? That's just how it works. You think somebody attractive, they think you attractive. You can kind of sense it. And so you try to make it your purpose to have a conversation with this person. Because it feels good. I ain't did nothing. I ain't said nothing out the way. Hey, you know? I just knew they was going to have something on tight. So I had to make a conversation today. She laughing on them. You should have laughed loud so somebody else could have. That's just real talk. I'm just keeping it real. I didn't come up here to lie. I loved my sin. I was a professional sinner. I was in the Sinner Olympics. Gold medals. I did not get saved to fake it. I could have still been sinning. And that's all I'm trying to say. Like, this is the way that we cut all that filthiness out and just go ahead and get right. Pastors say, what if everybody, you know, was to just gird up their loins and do this? To some of us, that sounded like it was impossible. It's only like 100 of us in here. How is that impossible? Why can't we? We're going to have to make a choice to stop loving our sin as much. But why does he use the hand and the eye as an example of things to cut off? Why does he use that? You think about that. Like, an eye, yo, poke one of your eyes out. It will seriously impair. Do you feel like you can live without your other eye? Some of you are like, yeah, that's possible. I've seen a guy, he's like shooting guns and stuff. He got one eye and stuff. What I can do. But do you want to? You feel like you kind of need your other eye, right? How many kids in here under 16 would like to give up an eye? I didn't think so. Daniel, put your hand down. You're just participating. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. Love you. How about your hand? Anybody want to just go ahead and cut off their hand? How many of y'all did bad stuff with y'all hand? I see everybody in here with two hands. Jesus told you to cut it off. Why is your hand still on? He told you to go ahead and cut it off. Are we not being obedient? No one feels like, oh, well, Jesus wasn't really being literal. It was an example. The point is, you feel like you can't live without this. You feel like you can't live without that. That's how you feel about sin. There's some sins you feel like you cannot live without. I tried. This is just something that's going to be a part of me for the rest of my life. Hey, Paul had a thorn. Take it out of context. Luke 4 and 35. Point 3. It's so funny how you got like, I got like notes and notes and notes, and it always amazes me how you don't get through everything. But Luke 4 and 35. Sin won't go without a fight. And I'm not even going to read my notes because I know this. Holy Spirit, I'm not going to read these notes, but please give me an outline. This tiny one in my heart. Sin will not go without a fight. Sin is gangster. Sin ain't going to just let you be like, hey, get out of here. All right, my bad, man. I'm sorry about that. Almost messed your whole relationship up. I'm just saying, though. Sin will not go without a fight. This thing is war. It's war. Let's talk about relationships. Those who have a wife or have a husband, are you ready to confront your spouse about their sin? Is that something we do every day? And this is probably next to our relationship with Christ, this is the next greatest relationship. a husband and wife. Our relationship is supposed to reflect his relationship with us. It's supposed to be a direct example. Are you ready to confront your spouse about their sin? Even if they're out there wilding. I was a club goer. I used to come home and be like, hey, you're ugly. Don't talk to me. Hey. Just so she could get mad, we could get in a fight, and I can go where I wanted to go. That's real talk. She don't want me there, so I'm only gone because you don't want me here. I wouldn't have left. You told me to leave. But I made it so. That's what sin does. A spouse doesn't want to confront the other spouse about their sin. Why? Because the other spouse might tell them the hard truth about themselves. That's the real reason. Are you ready to deal? Dang, I got my own sin. I'm not ready to deal and fight with their sin too. That means I got to fix my problem. You see what sin does? That's how a demon reacts as well. The demons, you remember the demon that were in the people, and Christ comes up on him and he's like, hey, you know, what in the world are y'all doing there? He was like, oh no, don't destroy us, Jesus. Throw us in those pigs over there. You remember that? And then he cast them into the pigs. That's why people don't eat pork. But they cast them into the pigs, and the pigs ran off the cliff and killed themselves. Could Christ have destroyed them and saved the pigs? Anybody ever thought about that? Why he didn't just destroy them on the spot? Isn't that his mission? He came face to face with a demon and did not destroy it. Even in this parallel, even in this sermon or this story taught, Jesus came face to face with a demon and just told the demon to leave. Why didn't he destroy the demon? Because there's a time for that. There's a time for that. It will happen. It will happen. Does the demon know the time? Does the demon know the hour? Do we know the time? Do we know the hour? Are we so stuck on ourselves that we refuse to give up those things that we know that are not godly for the sake of our own personal comfort? How many times has there been sin in the camp of God's people and God has wiped out all the people? How many times is it? Just think about it from your own home's perspective. Why do you think God is going to allow sin to be in your home and he just excuse you? Y'all just good. We Gucci. Hey, look, I'm a man. I got a career going on. I got stuff. It's tough out here. You know, we cuss. That's what we do on the drill field. I heard that from some of my drill instructor buddies. Hey, man, I work all day, man. It ain't nothing like having a cold brewski at the end of work. Okay, bro, I'm not knocking you having a beer. But when your kids do that, how can you check that? Not that it's sinful, it's just not expedient. That's not the example. You ever seen it? You ever been up at the school signing your kid in, and you see that one parent coming up there with their kid that got in trouble? And immediately you see why their kid was in trouble. You know exactly why this kid bad. Mama come in there, flip-flops on, thing on it. What? He ain't said nothing to you. You've been picking on him for 2 years. Sin always wants to defend itself. She made stake of her child. The child belongs to her. She wants to defend. That's what sin do to us. That's what it does. So how are you going to combat it? Do you not know that when you wake up, you're in war? As soon as you wake up, you're in war. How many times have you just waved the white flag on war? Every time you engage in sin, you're throwing your white flag up. Think about that. White flag, I'm sinning. White flag, I just give up. I told my kids the other day, I'm going to tell my kids this. I just haven't had the conversation yet. I just had to make sure I was in the right place. I understand that your sin is a direct reflection of my sin. You sin because I'm a sinner. Or I was born that way. You were born that way. But what are we going to do
with this fight right now. Because the same way I'm going to have to fight it and I've had to fight it, it's the same way you're going to have to fight it. It's just like God in his relationship with us. God is sovereign. God made you. God is the reason why you exist, but you're responsible for your sin. I'm the reason why my children exist physically here. Not trying to play God. You know, some people, oh, no, you're not. It's God. He got, just get with the analogy. I'm the reason why they exist, but they're responsible for their own sin. So are you. You're responsible for, don't blame God. Don't blame the preacher. Don't blame the messenger. Blame yourself for your sin. Some of you are going and doing some of the most foulest and vilest things in your personal life, and you know it. And you think coming to church today and checking this box off is going to mean you're good. I'm on my way. Sin left undealt with has the opportunity and permission to grow and grow and grow and grow. Anybody ever sprayed the little weed stuff on some weeds? About a year later, 3 months later, them weeds came right back. That's what we doing. We just spraying weed killer on our sin. You have to pluck these things out by the root. You have to be serious about your sin. You have to be serious about your condition, because real talk, it's heaven or hell. It's heaven or hell. Real talk, God is not going to give you a pass. Either you repent and believe in the gospel, either you're regenerated by the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, or you're not. Either you will make and take a stand for Jesus Christ today, or you won't. Whatever the decision is, I'm not saying your life will end today. But what I'm saying is it could. Is it worth the gamble? There ain't no negotiating. And I say on the good side of that, man, look how many blessings you're missing. Look how much struggle you're putting yourself through. Think about somebody out there needs you. Somebody you work with needs you. Somebody you work with needs you. But you fighting, you literally got a machine gun and you doing this. You ever seen a dog chase his tail? What is a dog doing when it's chasing his tail? Is it chasing other dogs? Is it eating? Just chasing its own tail. And that's what we're doing with our own sin. Man, leave it alone. You cannot do the work of God if you are in battle with sin. Some sin can go overnight. There are some people in here who have been doing stuff and they have stopped. They have gradually, you know what? I'm not going to make that phone call because I know this person ain't about nothing. And I'm not picking it up the next time. And when they try to catch me at my job, I'm going to go ahead and tell them off once and for all. You'd do that if you wanted to fight them. Right? How many kids, I ain't even going to use my daughter for example. How many people in here said, look, if that person say one more thing to me, I'm going to slap fire out them. I've done it. I've said it. That's the same way you should be with sin. But you'd be like, sin, stop playing. Sin, hey, don't touch me again. Stop playing. That's what we do with our sin. We play with it. You ain't about it. You ain't really ready to fight it. You keep giving it warning, 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 warning. Eventually, it's going to end. Are you willing to fight your sin? And I don't just mean on social media. See, there's some people that I know personally that are going through, and I'm going to close, that are going through some of the same things that I've went through. And maybe I'm going through stuff that they've went through. But it does me no good if we just guessing, if we just leave it in the maybe. Let's talk about it. Hey, bro, I'll give you an example. And I guess I'll leave it with this. There was a friend of mine who we were doing some business together, I'll say. Actually, we were doing ministry together. Let's keep it real. We were doing ministry together. And I asked them to do something with me on their computer. And so the brother brings up his computer, and I see on the bottom some stuff that shouldn't have been there. So I'm doing ministry with this person. I'm like, okay, maybe that's an ad. Happens. Let me X out of that. So he stepped off, and I went in the files. I went right. I didn't even have to dig. I went right to where my music was, right where we were supposed to be doing, and up on the computer pops up the blockbuster video of pornography. I didn't say nothing to him. I just X'd out of it. 4 years later, this brother is divorced. This brother's not with his kids. There's a little boy and a little girl out there who now will depend on another man to enter their home and love them like Christ loves the church. What if I would have said something? What if I could have said, brother, now look now, you made a vow with me and we made a vow to God that we would not live like this. You need to cut this off, man. I'm deleting it right now. Look, bro, we need to pray. Do we need to talk to your pastor? What if I would have took a war stance on that at that moment? Maybe there wouldn't be a fatherless child right now. Maybe there would be a marriage that's stronger than a rock right now. But that's just an example of when I skipped on telling somebody else about their sin. Maybe I didn't say anything because I was doing the same thing. I said maybe. But that's how we take it. That's what we do. We miss our opportunity chasing our own tails, dealing with our own sin. Will you make the commitment today to fight? To not only fight for yourself, but fight for your family, fight for your relationships, fight for the kingdom of God. We have great leaders here. They fight too. And they're getting tired of fighting for everybody else. We made jokes and things, you know, about Elder Ray and Minister Davina. But these are people who fight for you. We see them. We actually give you honor because we know you fight for us. It looks weird to everybody else, but that's their armor. That's what they do. Your shepherds who cover you, who are fighting for you, who are up late at night taking calls because you don't know how to fight for yourself. They done gave you months and months and years worth of tools, and you refuse to use them. I'm not doing no altar call. Because like in a joke earlier, the demon came up to the altar. By the way, let me say this. The altar is where we made sacrifice to God. People didn't come up to the altar. If you read the scriptures, Jesus never did an altar call. Jesus never said, come on this side and stand over here. We do it as symbolism that we're unashamed of the proclamation that we're about to make. That's why we do it. Just like baptism doesn't save you. It's an outward expression of your inward faith. Don't think because you got dipped in the water, you Gucci. Because you're not. So I'm not going to do it either. But I will challenge you the same way that Jesus challenges you to look inside, to peer inside your heart, and make a commitment today to make war with your sin. Today, right now, as soon as you leave, if you have a relationship that is not honorable to God, cut it off today. Leave here, get in your car, make a phone call, cut it off today. And don't forget, God is the blesser. You might feel like there's a gap, but no, there's no gap. That's just more room for the Holy Spirit, amen? There's no gap. There's nothing missing. It's going to be a struggle. You will not like it. You will not like the way it feels. Anybody enjoy medicine? No. But it's for your good. It's for your good. I thank God for you. I love you. I really do. I love this body. There's oftentimes I know I'm tired, you know, just thinking, how can I do better? How can I do this? I got my own stuff going on. But I love this body. But I'm not going to keep turning wheels and turning wheels and turning wheels if no one else wants to push. I'm going to start calling it, hey, no, we don't need your hands. Nope, excuse me. Nope, go ahead and get your hands out. You ain't pushing. You're just taking up space. When a leaf falls off a tree, it dies. Don't fall from the tree. Don't fall from the tree. Get back into this fight, amen? Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father God, as a sinner, redeemed by your grace, as a vain human being, covered by your mercy, Lord, I stand here personally guilty of talk and no walk. Of walk and no righteousness, God. But by your blood and by your grace, I'm still here, God. And I'm still in the fight, God. Only by your strength. I stand here knowing that I can't depend on myself, God, to do your work. And I present to you 100+ other people in here today who stand in the same position, God. Lord, we all have personal sins and personal things that we deal with, God, and we don't know what to do, God. May you today impress upon our hearts to give it over to you, God. To cut off relationships that are not healthy, God. To stop putting things in our body that defiles our temple, God. To stop using our bodies and our members as instruments of satanic worship, God. Because that's all it is, God. It's Luciferian in its very nature. I call it like I call it, God. I see it how I see it, God. Sin is against you, and I pray right now that you remove it from your people, God. God, we stand here in your need, asking that you, with all your power and all your might, God, that you would intercept even this prayer, God, that your will be done. So that your kingdom may come. Father God, I pray for the children in here, God, who don't take their sins seriously, God. I pray that you would rise up out of these children, God, a beautiful aroma, a satisfying aroma, God, to your nostrils. That you might help me, Father God, not only share the words of life with them, God, but pray for them and cover them in the way that I ought to, God. Father God, I pray for these children, parents, that first and foremost, they would make that their mission. Before work, before the gym, before everything else that they do, that they will take care of their first ministries. Lord, we ask you now to order our steps, Father God. Order our steps, God. Lord, we know that the sin removal process is not a good one, God, to our senses. But we know that it's healthy for our souls, God. I pray right now for myself and your congregation and your people, God, that you grant us forgiveness for the disrespect and the walk that we've been doing in darkness, God. Lord God, I pray for all your people, God, that today would not just be another day that they look at their sin and say, I'm going to leave it there, God. That they clean out these closets, God. And, Lord, that you just keep them on a progressive state of sanctification. I pray that for your people. Lord God, I pray that you rejuvenate our shepherds, God. That you would give our ministerial staff, Father God, a new thirst for you, God. That you will put up this barrier, God, and heighten our senses, God, to sin, that we might be in better position, Father, to cover your people. I pray for every marriage, every relationship in here right now, God, that you might restore it, that it might look like your relationship with your church, that husbands might love their wives in accordance to your gospel, God, that husbands might love your wives like you love the church, that they might take care of their families and the way that you've called us to, that men would return home to their first ministry. I pray that you take the burden off of these women, God, that makes them feel that they have to play a man role, that you would help them lean and depend on you, Father God, to be the man in their life, God, that you would comfort their souls, that you would provide sustenance to their homes, that you would give them courage, and that you would remove the shame, Father God, for we all make mistakes, God. Lord, I pray for the children that feel like maybe they were the mistake. I pray that you give them comfort, that you give them a sense of purpose, God, that you reveal to them what you would have them do in a way that we can understand, Father, in a way that we can understand. I pray this prayer, God, in the flesh. I pray this prayer be intercepted by the Spirit, that you might make good of what has been said. And I will expect results, Father God. Not demand, I expect them because you are that good. I pray for those who are not here, God. I pray for those that have chosen to walk away from your body. I pray that they return. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.